Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into episode 67 of the Losses Above Replacement podcast. Alex, cue the intro.
It's time for Losses Above Replacement, the best baseball podcast alive. Sit yourself down and listen in. Share with everyone and your favorite Rick Kane. You can stream on Spotify or Apple Podcasts too. It's time for Splash, Mac, and Alex today on LAR.
That was beautiful. Oh my God.
We need to cut that, and that will be our intro permanently.
Yes, I'm down with it. Let's go.
I am putting my foot down as like one third of the LAR crew. That was art right there. At least until you email Jack Merluzzi.
I've already emailed. I haven't gotten
great.
Back, sadly.
So, Alex, good job, pal. I'm Splash, joined by Mac and Alex. Of course. How are you guys doing?
Doing good over here. If my beautiful song was an indication of that. No, but things are going all right on my end here. Just spent the weekend here, well, last night, scoring for a trivia final that one of my teams that I worked through on my trivia job actually got second place, so good for them. But made $100 basically just doing simple math, so we take those.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing some traveling next couple weeks. I'm going to Boston on Thursday. I'll be spending the weekend there, going down with my master's swim team. Going up. Geography, you know, that's how it works. But yeah, going to a competition at Harvard, and then next week I'm going to spring training with my roommate, going to see some Grapefruit League action, maybe gonna take in an Orlando Magic game while we're down there too, since we are staying in Orlando. So yeah, I'm doing all right, you know. Things are looking up.
Have you heard the Orlando Magic hype song?
I don't think I have.
Okay. It is the second greatest song of all time, second only to Alex's intro. I encourage you to listen to it after the podcast. Listeners, I encourage you to pause the podcast right now, go to YouTube, search Orlando Magic hype song, and come back 10 minutes later when you're totally jazzed up, because that is art right there. And then come back and listen to the rest of our podcast. Speaking of Orlando, speaking of spring training, we have hot takes. We have overreactions. It's time. I tweet out it every couple days. I know it's spring training. I know it's spring training. I know it's spring training. And then I just blurt out whatever comes to mind. Fellas, I want you to do the blurting today. Alex, we're going to start with you. What is your spring training overreaction? Who is a God-tier player now? Who sucks? Who's going to the Hall of Fame? Tell me right now.
All right, I'm going to give you the hottest take imaginable right now, and that is Ty France, Seattle Mariner first baseman, will steal double-digit bags this year. Ty France for a while has said, I'm fit, not fast. And to the point where even in MLB The Show, he has had an 11 speed rating. To give you an idea of how bad that is, a lot of regular players have about like 56, like Cal Raleigh had like a 55 speed. So Ty France having 11 is like, oh no, levels of speed. However, watching him in spring training this year, he has been legging out first to third, been legging out doubles. He went first to home on a double a little bit ago, and he looks thin. He worked with, I don't remember what the name of the gym is here, but I want to say it was Cross something. But he worked with them, and he worked on a lot of his mechanics swing-wise to get a few, I think they said on average, out 5 extra miles per hour on his bat swing speed, which is fantastic. But he's also looked thinner than he has ever looked at this point, too. And he's been looking faster. He's been running so much more efficiently. I would not be surprised if we see Ty France start to steal a couple bags here and there. He doesn't have any stolen bases in spring training yet, but he also hasn't been on base enough for it to really matter on that point. Plus, they're trying to keep him fresh. I think as soon as we get into the regular season, we're going to see Ty France start to steal some bags. He's not going to be fit, not fast. He's going to be fit and fast.
There we go. Mac, what's your overreaction?
So, the player I'm most excited about is Luis Severino. I'm going to say that Luis Severino will make the All-Star game this year.
Wow.
That's a take. Now, you know, Severino said coming into this year that last year he had issues tipping his pitches in addition to his injury problems. But I think this year, if he makes, at, you know, 27 starts, I'd say, I think he's going to be great this year. His velocity's up. He's missing bats again. Yeah, he even touched 98 in one of his spring training starts. So, yeah, Luis Severino is going to be great this year. I think he makes it back to the All-Star game. Maybe he even gets some down ballot Cy Young votes. So I'm really excited to watch this guy start. I think he could potentially be the ace of the team this year. So that's my hot take. Luis Severino is making it back to the All-Star game.
There you go.
So honestly, I respect him.
Yeah, I could see it. Both of you guys went with your teams. I'm going to go rapid fire different teams. First, Colorado and the Angels will be the number one and number two teams I watch on MLB TV outside of the Braves, of course, because they will be running. They will be doing the fun things. They will be trying to pull out the 2015 Royals vibes. Love it. Second, Juan Soto is the best hitter in baseball. Number three, Tarik Skubal, Cole Reagans, don't care which order. They will be one and two in AL Cy Young voting. And number four, yeah, I guess, Ke Bryan Hayes, National League most valuable player. He is hitting the ball in the air. Finally, the production is off the charts. He is him. There we are. Also, Forrest Wall is the best player of all time. And Spencer Strider will be inducted into Cooperstown on July 15th. So there's that.
Mac, I got a quick thing for you here, and Splash, I say this with as much love as I possibly can here. What is the over-under on the amount of times that Splash during the season will say, I'm him, as opposed to with regard to a player? What is the over-under at? I have it at right now about 4,500.5.
I was going to go with about, I'd say about 5,000.
All right,
what
sounds
about
good.
Over 9,000?
Over 9,000.
Rest in peace.
Also, Jared Kelnick is like 2 for 27, and Braves country is in shambles right now.
Yeah, he's struggling. He's struggling to make contact again. I don't know what's going on.
So, Braves country, let's shoot Jared Kelnick into the sun.
Oh boy! Congratulations, Mac. You get to watch Russell Wilson this year. Congratulations to the three of us today because we get to rank relievers. This is as much of a fool's errand as anything in ranking. At any position across any sport, these guys up, down, left, right, they walk everybody, they strike out the world. They look like two totally different pitchers depending on what day you watch them. But today, we will rank the top five relievers in Major League Baseball going into the season. I have a caveat that I would like to bring up before we get into the rankings,
okay,
because there are two players that probably should be one and two. But I will not be including them because one of them is currently hurt and the other was hurt all of last season. Felix Bautista would be my number one, but he will not pitch this season. Edwin Diaz would be my number two. He did not pitch last season. I am more than willing to accept that both Mac and Alex probably have Diaz on their list. Maybe not Bautista because he will be out for the season, but I will not have Edwin Diaz. I will not have Felix Bautista. They would be number one and number two if they were not injured or coming off of a serious injury.
That's fair. Like, I will say right now, I have Edwin Diaz on my list. I do not have Bautista because he is not pitching this year. But I do think that Edwin Diaz deserves to be on because he is going to be the closer going into 2024 as the rightful owner of Narcos will be pitching again for the Mets.
This is when we need a video podcast because I am flipping Alex off right now.
I'll throw this out there that I also have Diaz on my list and also did not include Bautista, which is unfortunate because Bautista was otherworldly last year.
Yeah.
Probably will not be back this year. If he does come back, it won't be until very late in the season. Like maybe if the Orioles are in the playoffs, maybe he comes off the IL, but it just sucks because he is having a season like Diaz did in 2022. I think he may have struck out over half the batters he faced. Like, man, I can't wait to see him back on the field because he's just filthy on the mound.
I will say then for the maybe two wrestling fans that listen to our podcast as well, Felix Bautista is Gunther, this incredible final boss looking person that is outright dominating. That's, if you want a good comparison, those two are the same. Over is a huge beasts of men that can just outright make you feel intimidated by them looking at you. So I respect the heck out of Felix Bautista. He is an amazing pitcher. And I think every hitter in the American League, especially the AL East, should be at least like sleeping a little bit easier knowing that he's not going to be around this year.
And especially the gap between Felix Bautista and Craig Kimbrell in the year of our Lord 2024. With all due respect to future Hall of Famer and Braves icon Craig Kimbrell, he's not exactly the guy I want on the mound in the ninth inning trying to close out games against Juan Soto.
He's kind of a shell of his former self right now. I think he's still a solid pitcher, but he's a fraction of what he used to be.
Absolutely. So with that said, number five, who would like to go first?
I'll start things off here.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
All right, sounds good. Let's get this started off here. And I'm saying right up, Brad, number five is Andrés Muñoz of your Seattle Mariners. Here, look, Andrés, there's always one big question mark when it comes to Muñoz, and that is command. If Muñoz could command that fastball and slider, he is untouchable. He is a younger version of Edwin Diaz. But the thing that comes to mind with him is that he's had trouble finding the strike zone and sometimes will throw a meatball. And it is really those mistakes that have cost him a lot in the last season. But there's one thing that happened last year that I don't see enough people talking about. He developed a sinker. Like, he developed a sinker as soon as he started using that pitch in games, he became Andrés Muñoz again. And I still fully believe, maybe this is a little bit of homerism in me, I think that Andrés Muñoz could be a top three before the end of 2024. Watching how he pitches, especially with how good of a bullpen he's going to have behind him, at this point, Ron, he's going to get a lot of opportunities, I think, this year to prove it. And as long as he just keeps that command in check, he is going to be one of the best closers in baseball. Looking at right now what Fangraphs has for him, they have him at right now a projected 0.9 war here with 11, almost 12 strikeouts per night, which is pretty solid, not the best. Funny enough, also a pretty decently low walks per nine as well, projected at 3.36, which honestly, I'll take that with some of the other closers on a lot of lists are in the fours even. So I'll take that. Again, the big question mark when it comes to him is, can you command that fastball? Because you don't even need to throw the slider for a strike most of the time. Just throw it so it starts out middle of the zone, then just goes whoop to the left, and you're going to get people swinging and missing on that all day long.
Yeah, so Muñoz is one of a number of guys that I was considering for this list. I'll just give you some of my honorable mentions. It's Muñoz, Emmanuel Clase, who was great in 2022, wasn't as good this past year, kind of lost some velocity. Pete Fairbanks, I think, is a very underrated reliever, but I had to leave him off. Ryan Helsley, another guy who I had in my list last year. He just battled injuries, and you know, I think he was still a good reliever, but he's not quite top five anymore. And the last one that I barely left off was Yoan Duran. I think he's a guy who next year will probably be on my top five. As with Muñoz, I think with Muñoz is that he kind of had a rough last, like, you know, 5 or 6 weeks of the season, which inflated his numbers. But I fully expect at least both Muñoz and Duran to be in my list when we go over next year. Number five for me is David Bednar from the Pirates. This man is fantastic. And I feel like he's underrated because, you know, he pitched for a Pirates team that wasn't amazing this year, but he led the National League in saves with 39, 80 strikeouts and 67 in the third innings, made a second straight All-Star game with a 2.00 ERA. His strikeout rate dropped, but his expected stats all got better. His hard hit rate was lower. His walk rate was actually the same, but yeah, his expected ERA dropped from 3.22 to 2.84. His ex-WOBA got better. His WOBA got better. His expected slugging got better. His expected batting average all got better. His sweet spot percentage went down. So Bednar does everything you want as a closer. He rarely has to fight his way out of, you know, jams. So I really like watching David Bednar pitch. So he's my number five. Like I said, there were a number of worthy candidates for this list.
Yeah, relievers are always tough. Like I said in our little intro, that they're all over the place. Year-to-year variance is just crazy with these guys. And that's even true with my number five. That's Emmanuel Clase, that he was my number one reliever last season. I had the famous comparison that Clase walks home at night safely and Edwin Diaz walks home at night with a taser. So they both get home safely, but Edwin Diaz might need to use the taser because he like strikes out 100 batters per nine innings. Class A did not have quite as good of a year, but the expected stats, all of the under the hood stuff were still in the top 10 percentiles in baseball, a 3.04 expected ERA, a 5.3% walk rate, an expected WOBA 271. All of these are great. They're just not quite as good as the best reliever in baseball that I thought he was heading into last season. He doesn't allow many barrels. He gets a ton of ground balls, about 57%. He's pumping 98, 99 mile per hour cutters and a 91 mile per hour slider. So absolute filth. I wish he struck guys out a little bit more. His strikeout rate did dip from 28% to 21%. So if he's back at 26%, 27%, 28%, that expected ERA is going to be back in the twos. His regular ERA is going to be back in the ones potentially. He's a guy with a career two ERA. Come on now. 111 saves in his career, is over 40 the last two seasons. Emmanuel Clase is my number five.
Yeah, Clase is a guy I wanted to put in my list, but like I said, last year he just wasn't the same last year, which is why I think he regressed just enough to the point where I had to leave him off.
So I'll go with one guy that, in a world where relievers are up, down, left, right, there's one guy who was always good. Not saying he's the best, not saying he's number one, not saying he's going to win Mariano Rivera Awards or Trevor Hoffman Awards, but this is a guy that if you go back to 2016, he has just one season with an ERA above three. You guys know him. You guys love him. It's Raisel Iglesias. 2.75 ERA with Atlanta last season. Expected ERA, low threes. Chase percentage, 35%. You're just chasing everything out of the zone. 89th percentile whiff rate, 88th percentile strikeout rate. And Iglesias, as much as I think he walks guys, in the grand scheme of relievers, in the grand scheme of major league pitchers, he doesn't. He's 78th percentile walk rate, 6.5%. Doesn't allow too many barrels. Just enough on the ground, about 43%. The fastball was not very good last season. Either the sinker or the four-seamer, they both got walloped at times. But he was very good with the off-speed. His changeup was plus 5 run value. His slider was plus 7 run value. So if his fastball is just average, it was negative 1 run value last year on the four-seamer. His sinker, he threw it as little as he had as a Brave. He is very good. He's very consistent. I'm not saying he's going to be on this list permanently. He is getting up there in age. He's 34 now. But I will give him the benefit of the doubt that he's had a sub 3 ERA every year but one since 2016. And even that year, he was in Cincinnati with the juiced balls in 2019. And he was still above average, a 112 ERA plus. So Raisel Iglesias is my number four.
Yeah, and I think Raisel is honestly a good pick. He's not in my top five, but that is only because I personally like the guys above him a little bit more. Raisel, I'll say one really nice thing about him. I remember watching a game that was on Apple, of all things, and Harold Reynolds was on the call, and he was talking about Raisel Iglesias, saying, when this guy is on, I don't think it's possible to hit against him. And I was like watching, and I'm like, you know what? I think he's actually right. When Raisel has his stuff, it is insane to watch the movement on his pitches. You guys brought up the name of my number four guy here a little bit earlier. I went with Emmanuel Clase. And for me, you'll notice kind of a theme with a lot of my guys, and that is in the closer position, I love a good fastball. I love a fastball and a sinker that can top out 100, 100 plus, because I think that when you're in the ninth inning, you need to have someone there that can just blow it by a hitter. They're tired already from a long game. Here, you need that extra velo to just come in through. And man, Emmanuel Clase is one of the best in the business at doing exactly that. He's got a great slider. He's got a great fastball. Here, I agree. Last year, he had a down year, but I still think even with a down year, he is still a dang good reliever. Here, the biggest issues that I have kind of with him overall is the fact that, yeah, he is coming off a bit of a down year. And with Cleveland, I'm not sure how many save opportunities he's going to get. Yes, it's not the best division overall, but the offense there is not very inspiring to me personally. So does that diminish him at all as a reliever? No. But it's pretty clear he's mostly only going to be used in like ninth inning scenarios, maybe a little bit in the eighth inning. But just looking at the stuff that he brings to the table, an incredible fastball, a great slider, and a couple other pitches that he'll just kind of mix in a little bit just to tease a hitter like that, I think he is well worth being in the top five.
So my number four is someone who, if you told me, you know, 3 years ago that this guy was a top five, going to be a top five reliever, I would have just ignored you, quite frankly, because he was constantly on the waiver wire. I'm talking about Evan Phillips. He's my number four reliever. This man, I'm telling you, he could not latch onto a team. Finally gets picked up by the Dodgers. And last year, he was fantastic in 2022. 1.14 ERA. All right, maybe he wasn't 1.1 ERA last year, but as the closer in 2023, 2.05 ERA, 3.11 expected ERA. His sweeper is actually his best pitch, not his fastball. He does throw a fastball that, you know, sits in the mid to high 90s, averages 96, but his sweeper had a plus 12 run value. It had a 42% whiff rate, 43% strikeout rate. And also, he's a reliever, kind of like what you were saying about Clase. He doesn't really walk guys. He struck out 66 batters against only 13 walks and 61 in the third innings. So that's a 5.6% walk rate, which is the lowest of his career. Against the 28.2% strikeout rate, it's down from the year before, but I really like his stuff overall. I think, you know, he's done it for 2 years in a row now. I wanted to include him last year, but I wanted to see him do it more than once before I actually included him in one of my lists. So I think number four is a good spot for him. I know last year MLB Network already had him in their top five, so now I have him in my top five, and I think a lot of people do, really. He's proven that he can be a solid big league closer, and that 2022 was not a fluke.
Absolutely fair. That, yeah. I don't have Evan Phillips in my list.
Same. But
very good pitchers. He's in the, like, that 6 to 10 range. And like I said, relievers fluctuate every year. So, like, you could be in the middle of May and, yeah, he's absolutely in the top five. And then you could be in the middle of July and you never want to see him on a big league mound again. I've certainly been there with, like, even Iglesias as an Angel.
I've been there before too, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I'm going to go ahead with my number three, and that is the newest member, or one of the newest members of the Houston Astros. That's Josh Hader. He had another ERA in the ones last year, after a bit of an aberration, an ERA over five. He had a, I don't remember what it was, but like off-field issues, and he gets traded to San Diego, and he just has like a month, and he's just awful.
He couldn't get anyone out that 1 month. Yeah.
Yeah. Before the month, he was awesome. And then after the month, he was awesome. And in 2021, he had a one ERA. In 2023, he did one ERA. So that is the life of a reliever. 2.34 expected ERA, a 1.57 expected batting average, which is just bananas. 37% strikeout rate, which is awesome. The one issue is he walks a lot of guys. He walks 13% of batters. That's not great. But the nice thing is that the 1.57 expected batting average, and he's going to strike out 37% of the guys or the batters he faces. So it's sort of Blake Snell disease here. It's read all over the Statcast, a plus fastball, the sinker, plus slider. He throws that about 97% of the time, give or take, just eats up lefties. I mean, he does just enough to, you know, beat righties, gets a lot of chases, gets a ton of whiffs, avoids barrels, avoids getting hit hard. He's a little bit more fly ball than you like, only a 21st percentile ground ball rate, but Josh Hader's one of the top. Hey, I have him number three in my reliever list. So there's that.
Yes. Oh, I have Hader at number three too. He was, you know, it's crazy because after 2022, you know, I think going into 2022, he was the undisputed best reliever in baseball. 2022, he almost fell out of my rankings. But this year, I mean, he looked like the Josh Hader we all expect him to be. 1.28 ERA, like you said. Again, 85 strikeouts and 56 in the third innings. But his biggest issue in 2022 was the home run ball. And this year, he only allowed three homers in 56 in the third innings. So, yes, he does allow a lot of fly balls, but it's good that he was able to keep the ball in the yard this year. Maybe it helped playing in Petco Park, which is more of a pitcher-friendly ballpark. The couple of issues I have, one is that he's always, I felt like up until 2022, he was a guy you could go to for, or actually more like up until 2021, he was a guy who you expected to see for more than just one inning, sometimes two and a third, you know, up to three innings. He hasn't had more than the three out save in a while. Also, his fastball velocity dropped and his walk rate went up. But that being said, he still misses plenty of bats. He's very hard to hit because he has a deceiving motion, very low arm slot. So I'd say his motion is kind of like a combination of Dontrelle Willis and Chris Sale, sort of, you know, with the low arm slot. So he's always going to be tough to pick up, whether you're left-handed, right-handed. I love his arsenal. He gets tons of strikeouts. He prevents runs from scoring. I'm curious to see how he does over the life of his contract with the Astros now, but he was a part of the Astros organization back in the mid-2010s. So now he gets to perform for them at the big league level, that loaded bullpen they have. So, yeah, I have Hader at number three. And it was honestly refreshing to see him have a bounce back here.
Yeah, Hader is a dang good pitcher. I'm going with number three with one of his former teammates here, and that is Devin Williams, the Airbender. And especially in a year where right now we have an Avatar The Last Airbender real life bit that I don't really like to acknowledge its existence because of how bad it is. This is an Airbender that we can all believe in. Here, watching him pitch, he is absolutely insane. Here, there was a bit of a scare about whether or not he was actually going to pitch this year, but it seems like it may be a little bit blown out of proportion. Looks like he's probably going to be ready for opening day. And, I mean, come on. He has been one of the best relievers since he came into the league in, what was it, 2020 when he made his debut, I believe? Because he was in the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah,
he debuted in 2019.
Debuted in 19.
Okay. 2019 debut, yeah. 2020 NL Rookie of the Year. And he has been absolutely on fire basically since then. I like watching him pitch. He's got an elite changeup there, and it's always fun playing with him in MLB The Show because he's one of the few people that actually has a screwball, so always fun to get to use that. But no, overall, watching him pitch, like, there's a reason why they call him the Airbender. He has incredible movement on his stuff and is one of the greatest closers in our game today.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead and start with my number two, because Devin Williams is my second ranked reliever. And I mean, it feels like Alex say, every year since his rookie year, he's been a top five reliever in baseball. I mean, he was insane as a setup man for Josh Hader. That's the thing, is they were fine trading Hader, I think, because they knew they had Williams ready to become the closer. And in his first full season, I mean, he saved 36 games, still is racking up a ton of strikeouts. I mean, the one issue I have with this game is that, yes, he had a 37.7% strikeout rate, but he had a 12.1% walk rate, which, if you wouldn't believe it, that's actually a bit of a drop from 2021 and 2022. It's actually the lowest he's had over the course of a full season. That's the thing. If he throws strikes more consistently, maybe gets a few more chases, I would consider him to be maybe number one, you know. But his expected ERA was still 2.67. His regular ERA was 1.53, which was fantastic. That's actually also the best he's had over the course of a full season. I love watching his airbender is just filthy. 42% strikeout rate again this year. 42% whiff rate, 37% strikeout rate. By the way, he also had a 41.8% whiff rate on his fastball. So while he doesn't throw the hardest with his fastball, because he gets so much extension, his stuff plays up, and he's really fun to watch. So I think the Brewers, they're kind of in a tough spot right now, but one thing they will be able to rely on is Williams. So he's my number two. I wouldn't be surprised if he's number one on anyone else, on other people's lists, you know.
Yeah, Devin Williams is number two on my list. Like Max said, the elite airbender, the changeup, allowed a batting average of 0.97. So for every 10 hitters that came up to bat, on average, only one of them got a hit out of the 10. Although he did walk a lot of guys, 12% walk rate, like you mentioned. That is always scary, but this is the fourth year in a row he's had an expected batting average below 175. This year was 171, no different. Just limits hard contact. A lot of things are on the ground, about a 48% ground ball rate. Like you mentioned with the extension, his stuff plays up. He doesn't allow batted balls to be hit hard. And if you can even hit it, right? 99th percentile whiff rate, 99th percentile strikeout rate. He's just incredible. Now, a little bit of a two-pitch pitcher with a changeup and fastball, mixes in the cutter from time to time, about 3% of the time. But the changeup, the airbender is so good that it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. You're going to see it, you know, potentially once, maybe twice in a series, and it's you're done, right? He's going to pick up his two saves and carry on to the next series. So Devin Williams is my number two. Alex, who's yours?
So I'm going to go on my number two with someone we haven't talked about. And I admit I am probably a lot more higher on this person than others are. And that's Yoan Duran. Duran, I think, is such an incredible pitcher. Watching him pitch right now, that pitch mix that he has of that fastball, cutter, slider, splitter, and curve, it's not fair. Like, when Pitching Ninja himself at that point has you as the most unfair at-bat in the league, where he had that splitter fastball, like, what are we doing here? What are we absolutely doing here? That, like, the splitter has insane drop, and they look all the same coming out of that hand. You don't know whether that ball is going to have going to be fly with a little bit of a tail or going to just go down. You don't know. You have to guess. Like, you can't react. You have to guess and hope you're right. And guess what? He's got 4 to 5 pitches that all of them can get you out. So that 100% chance of making a guess, or 50% chance, like, say, if it's with Devin Williams, that now turns into a 20% chance. And that's only if you are get it correct and can catch up to it and can predict the location on it. So right now, Yoan Duran is just so dang good. I love watching him pitch. He is such an interesting arm guy, just because we don't see that kind of stuff very often. Like, most of the time when we talk about closers, we talk about, like, say what I brought up with Munoz, right? It's guys that pound the ball in, have a good bit of movement to them. Duran takes that and then elevates it. He has a fastball that could go above 100. He has that splitter that looks like it drops like 4 feet. He has a curveball that looks like a yo-yo. He has a slider that looks like a frisbee. Like, what do you want? What do you want at that point? He takes everything that other closers do and then steps it up a notch.
Alex, you just spat facts, but you did not speak facts hard enough, because my number one reliever in baseball is Yoan Duran. This man is pumping 102 miles per hour right down the pipe, and you can do nothing to hit it. Expected batting average allowed last year, 185. Expected ERA, 260. Those are 98th percentile, 99th percentile in baseball. The year before, 220 ERA. He strikes out 33% of batters for his career. You mentioned the incredible fastball, the incredible split. It is just positive run value everywhere. +4 run value on the four-seamer, +4 on the curveball, +8 on the splitter. Last year, +9 on the fastball, +8 on the curveball. Just absolutely filth. Everything's red on the StatCast page, it feels like. And he's pumping 102, 103. So even if it's not like the best placement on every individual pitch, you still have to prepare for 103, right? 102, 103. And then you have the split that plays off of it. You have the curve that plays off of it. He's in three sort of velocity bands, three different directions with his pitches, that it looks the same. You throw the four-seamer at the top of the zone. You throw the splitter and the curveball down. Out of the arm, they look the same. Halfway to home plate, they look the same. And all of a sudden, they split across, and you're swinging underneath the four-seamer at the top of the zone. You're swinging on top of the curveball, on top of the splitter. And my favorite thing about Duran is not pumping 102. It's not the whiff rate. It's not the strikeout rate. It's the 99th percentile ground ball rate. You're telling me a guy that's elite at striking guys out, 96th percentile, is also getting the ball on the ground at 66% clip? So if you do make contact, which you probably aren't, but if you do, it's right in the ground. This is why I love Logan Webb so much in our starting pitching list last week. You can check that out. Yoan Duran, I think he's the best relief pitcher in baseball. The stuff is nasty, but the results, the process, how he generates outs, it's exactly what you want in a pitcher. Strikeouts, number one priority. Okay, if you're not getting a strikeout, what's the next best thing? Infield pop-ups, technically. But third, ground balls. You're erasing walks. He has a 9.8% walk rate, which is in relievers terms, not bad. Not great, not bad. 29th percentile across baseball. But hey, that guy's going to get erased as soon as Duran throws a 99 mile per hour splitter and you beat it into the ground. It's a little 4.63 to turn two. So, you know, Duran, my number one pitcher, number one reliever in baseball.
Yeah, I'll say this much, that Duran was very tough to leave off my list. I would say he was like right on the edge, number six for me. But I definitely see the argument for why he could be the best reliever in baseball. I mean, it's really, really close, I think. But the margin between him and Bednar and even him and Phillips was not much. He fell between the cracks in my list, I feel like. But I'll go ahead with my number one, and call me what you want. I have Edwin Diaz as my number one reliever. Now, I think this goes beyond just his, A, the trumpets, and B, his numbers in 2022, which, by the way, they were fantastic. He struck out over 50% of the batters he faced. But even if you go back to 2020, he's a 2.27 ERA since 2020. I would just like to point out that everyone in the Mets fan base wanted this man out of New York in 2019, a year where he got incredibly unlucky, and even his advanced stats showed that he was a fine pitcher that year. He just got burned by the juice ball a lot. It was pretty bad. But the other thing is that you saw what happened to him, or saw what happened to the Mets bullpen when Diaz was hurt. And this kind of speaks to the point that Alex had about Cal Raleigh. When it comes to the catchers, that Diaz's impact on the team is part of the reason why I have him at number one. In 2022, the Mets bullpen had an ERA of 3.5. It was actually there. The relievers had a lower ERA than the starters. It's 3.55 in 2022. They were charged with 19 losses all season. In 2023, Diaz was out. The relievers had a 4.48 ERA, and they were charged with 36 losses. And I want to point out that 13 of those losses came in the same month, in June, when they went 7-19. So, you know, I remember at the beginning of last year, I was wondering if, you know, the Diaz injury was really going to derail the Mets season, and it did. So, you know, I think with a healthy Diaz, the Mets bullpen, it's like night and day. And so that's just another reason why I think he's the best reliever in baseball. I'm really, really excited to watch him pitch this year. He's making his Grapefruit League debut tonight. And, you know, I think with a healthy Diaz, the Mets, the chances that they make the playoffs go up exponentially. And it's just, you know, I can't wait to hear the trumpets blare through the PA system for the first time this year. And I hope to hear them a lot this year.
So, yeah, I'll just go right into mine. My number one is Mariner legend Luis Torrens, catcher from the New York Yankees. No, it is actually a former Mariner legend, and it's also Edwin Diaz. The rightful owner to Narcos, as said by Blaster Jackson, Timmy Trumpet, look, when he was out, when they said that he was out after the World Baseball Classic, like, I was stumped. I was sad because I love watching him pitch. Watching him go at people with that huge fastball of his, a huge slider of his. We're talking about Yoran Duran with having an amazing fastball, amazing splitter, all that. Diaz doesn't need all of that. He needs his fastball and his slider, and he will beat you just like that. That's what he does. That's what he's been doing. He is such an amazing arm talent where whenever he does exactly what I think a closer needs to do, and that is not just be able to shut down people, but he gets other people into the game. He gets a team fully ready to go. And you know what? Like, I'm not saying that other closers don't do that, but I have not seen a team or a fan base rally around a closer like that in a while. And, like, don't get me wrong. Like, there's a lot of great closers out there that also have great theme music. Matt Coons is going to be talking about that later on, obviously. But I have never seen anyone quite like Edwin Diaz's. Not since, I think, Sandman. Enter Sandman with Mariano Rivera. Like, watching what he does, I know that I'm going way off of the stats and all that, but that's what Edwin Diaz does. He goes off of the stats. He is such a good arm talent. He is such a he's a player that is able to get that swing and miss incredulously easily. The number one question that you're going to have with Edwin Diaz is, can he stay healthy? He had a leg injury last year. Leg injuries are big for MLB players, including relievers, who a lot of people just think that they're all just arms. As long as their arms are fine, it's okay. No, you push off with your legs, that's where you generate a lot of power from. Hopefully, he's going to be back at full strength, just because I think having Edwin Diaz like that is good for baseball.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, I can't wait to see him back on the mound. Apparently, he's looked really good in the minor league scrimmages, which I know is kind of spring training. You know, it's whatever, spring training, yada, yada, yada. But the fact that he's healthy is just a big plus. I'm not expecting him necessarily to replicate what he did in 2022, but I expect him to be, you know, about, you know, 80% of that. It's very, very hard to replicate what he did that year. I'll just say that. But
definitely,
I think he's not what he was in 2019. Maybe he won't be what he was in 2022, but I expect him to be the best reliever in baseball this year. And, you know, I think it's reasonable to see him in the All-Star game and probably in the running for the Trevor Hoffman Award.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. And as I said, when we opened, Diaz and Felix Bautista, not on my list with the injuries. Diaz, of course, missed all of last season. Bautista will miss all of this season. So totally justifiable to have them at number one, number two, number whatever. I really didn't, like if I was making a list of closers and like posted it, I would make a note that Diaz wasn't really like included. I wouldn't put him at 8 or 12 because that's just disrespectful. So
fair enough.
Hopefully, I mean, hopefully for the Mets' sake that Edwin Diaz has a even year season and he's just nails like he was in 2020, 2022, even 2018 with the Mariners. So with that, I heard through the grapevine that a certain Alex has a trivia. Is that what they're called? Trivias?
I believe it's called Travia.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're
talking
about.
Edge of San Diego. Okay. Sure. Anyway, I do have trivia, guys. It is time for our everyone's favorite segments here in trivia time, as I will be testing Splash and Mac on a certain baseball category. And, you know, we're talking relievers. We're talking closers. So I figured we keep with that format here today. We're going to talk closers from 2023. And I want you guys each to name, you know, you each are going to get to name three players, and whoever has the most saves of those three for the 2023 season will be today's winner. But there's a catch, right? We all know the big names. We all know a lot of really good names that did extraneously well last year. So there's a caveat. If you pick a player that had over 30 saves last year, it will be a zero for your score.
Brutal.
Yeah. What? I was looking at the list here. Yeah, you can't just go with the big names. You've got to try and find the sweet spots. There are a grand total last year of 11, I believe it's 12 closers that reached over 30 saves. I need you to name the closers that had less than 30 saves.
So are we trying to get as close to 30 as possible?
So you want to have the most saves. Okay. So let's say, like, again, you said one that had
rules.
Yeah. Well, yes and no. Yeah. So, well, you each are going to name three guys, one after another, draft style. And if you name a person that has over 30, you're going to get 0 points. If you name someone who has under 30, you're going to get points equal to the amount of saves that they had.
Okay.
Yeah, and whoever has the most points after your three picks will be the winner. Okay. So I have a dice with me right now. Splash, would you like to call evens or odds?
Give me odds.
I rolled. It is a 5. So you you can pick first.
All right. I will receive the kickoff, and I will my kick returner today will be Yoan Duran.
Yoan Duran. Last year, looking at how many he had 27 saves. So a very good start there for
Strong start
Splash.
there.
Very, very
Okay.
strong start. All right, Mac, it's on to you.
All right. I am going to go with I just lost the name I was thinking of. I am going to go with give me a second. Literally, I had
take your time.
I'm going with Pete Fairbanks from Tampa Bay.
Pete
the second
Fairbanks.
Best Pete.
So looking at Pete Fairbanks, he is under 30 saves. He has 25. So another good start there, both of you.
There
you go. A good start, Mac. I mean, excuse me, Splash currently ahead by 2 points. Splash, it is back to you.
I was crapping on him earlier, but he had a bunch of saves. Craig Kimbrell.
Craig Kimbrell is a correct answer. He had 23 saves. So right now for Splash, you are now at an even 50 points. Mac, it is back to you for your second pick.
All right. I'm going to go with Evan Phillips.
Evan Phillips is a correct answer at 24 saves last year. So right now, currently, Mac, you are down by, I believe, it's actually just 1 point.
It's just one, yeah.
It is a close matchup here, but Splash, it is back to you.
All right, I'm going to go with another former Brave, Kenley Jansen.
Kenley Jansen.
Splash. I don't know about that one, man.
That is the best pick you could have made.
Let's
29
baby!
Saves.
Oh, my
ice,
God.
Ice in the veins. Ice in the veins right there.
So
I might be choked.
I do need to say that is actually an outright win because there's nobody with 30, and the most points that you can get on this next pick would be 28, which would still leave you 2 points short.
Yeah,
so,
exactly. That's the issue.
All right, do you want to take a stab at it anyway, just for competitive sake?
Yeah. I think this guy is the 28. I just know he was really good in the first half, and then like the rest of his team, he completely folded in the second half. So I believe this is Carlos Estevez.
Carlos Estevez would have gotten you 0 points.
Oh, what?
He's
actually
at 31 saves.
Oh,
wow.
Man. I'll be honest, I don't know who this 28 guy is then. Is it Clay
the
Holmes?
The
28
guy
like...
is Kyle Finnegan of the Washington Nationals.
Yes, okay. I would not have gotten that.
Hunter Hardy clears.
But, yeah, so Hunter Harvey's probably going to be their closer this year, so.
Yes.
Yeah. So final score on this one, Splash. You are today's victor. A final
Vicar.
Score.
Okay.
Like a nice little Vicar basket. Anyway, a final score of 79 249. Congratulations to you, Splash.
GG's, Mac. GG's.
GG's. That was rough, but yeah.
I was thinking about trivia to do for relief pitchers, and I'm like, it's too easy just to go with guys like Class A, Bednar, Doval.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of
I get that.
I'm like, let's make this evil.
Well, my trivia segment next week should be a lot of fun, but
I'm glad.
Hey, we're still this week, sadly.
We are still this week.
Sadly. Anyways, as we like to end all of our shows, we have a moment to ourselves. And I would like to go first because I have something I'm quite passionate about that annoyed me in baseball this week. So someone feel free to count me down.
All right. Your time begins in 3, 2, 1, begin.
The Dodgers are total frauds. They had the opportunity to start Yoshinobu Yamamoto on opening day, their opening day, March 20th. He would have been the first debutant to make the opening day start for his team since the 1940s. It was so long ago that the Cleveland Indians at the time, you can't cancel me, Alex, the Cleveland baseball team at the time had not even won the World Series in 1948 yet. But instead, they're going to go with Mr. Oppenheimer himself, Mr. Cillian Murphy himself. They're going to go with Tyler Glasnow, the shiny new toy from Tampa with the extension. They're going to put him. He's going to be. You had the chance to make history to do something that no team had done in over 75 years. You could have started Yamamoto in game one, but no, you're going to rob us of history. You're going to put him in the second game like the cowards you are, like the team that has not won a real World Series since 1988. Do you know how difficult that is, going that long without winning a World Series? The Giants have won a World Series. The A's, the Reds have won World Series since then. But the Dodgers continue to be a fraudulent organization. Alex, I don't care that I'm out of time. The Dodgers continue to be a Mickey Mouse run organization. They are frauds from top to bottom, from the guy at the very top that came over from the Rays. I'm blanking out his name. Friedman, right? He's a fraud. Shohei Ohtani is a fraud. Mookie Betts is a fraud. Now he's playing shortstop because they're trying to remove the stench of being fraudulent. This is a team that got swept by the Arizona Diamondbacks in the first round of the playoffs last year. This is a team that lost 4 to the San Diego Padres, who weren't even a good baseball team in 2022. This is a team that lost to the freaking 88-win Atlanta Braves in 2021. How are you losing to that team? That team sucks compared to the 2022 and 2023 iterations of that team. But instead of, you know, embracing the history, they decided, nope, we're going to start Tyler Glasnow, game one of the season. So the Dodgers, you are frauds.
For the record, I don't cancel you for saying all that. I just get mad when you say the Cleveland redacteds.
Oh,
that's okay. That's fair. My problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway. All right. Fair enough. I'm down to go next.
If you guys go ahead. Sure. Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
Three, two, one.
All right. So for me, I alluded to this lightly during an earlier segment on this, but I'm really into wrestling. I've been getting into wrestling more over the last couple of years, and I am so excited for WrestleMania this year. Oh my gosh, the story that has been built now over several years now of Cody Rhodes versus Roman Reigns, all that has been absolutely incredible. Now you've even gotten Dwayne Johnson back in this as The Rock. It is absolutely amazing. I love what I'm seeing from WWE, from Triple H, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, or Paul Levesque here at the head of creative. I've been enjoying this so much. The storylines have been great, but I am so excited to see what is going to happen at this year's WrestleMania. There are a ton of great stories right now going on that I really want to see, especially Gunther versus Chad Gable for the Intercontinental title. I think that is going to be so much fun, assuming that is what happens. Again, plans can always change. But we are less than a month now away from WrestleMania, and I am very, very, very excited. Also, Cody Rhodes, please finish the story.
All right. I think I... So, yeah, I'll go. Obviously, I'm the last one to go. So
sure. Three, all right. Two, one.
So all this action happening in NFL free agency just kind of got me thinking about, I feel like in the NFL and in the NBA, free agency, it all moves kind of quickly. I will say that I was getting ready to go to bed when Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers last night. But seeing all these big signings really just makes me wish that baseball free agency moved at a faster pace. We are in mid-March, and Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell do not have teams yet. I was just, you know, thinking to myself, what if Major League Baseball chooses to, I don't know, maybe implement a deadline of some sort. But really, it's just that I wish that this process moved a little quicker. So that's kind of my plea to Major League Baseball. Maybe find a way to make things a little bit faster. I'm perfectly fine if you drag things out, if you, you know, don't get a contract offer you don't like, but it's just my two cents. I think the NFL and the NBA do a good job making things move quickly. And, you know, I would just like to see things happen a little quicker in baseball.
On the subject of NFL free agency, I just got my heart ripped out and like punted. The Chargers signed Gus Edwards, and I'm looking at my Gus Edwards jersey hanging in the closet, and that's very sad. So,
I do want to see one thing on NFL free agency that also just dropped right now that I am very, very excited about. My favorite player in the league, Gardner Minshew, it just signed to be the quarterback number one for your Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, him and Aiden O'Connell. That's actually not a bad QB room. That's.
I mean,
no,
look,
O'Connell was.
We're gonna have a starter right in Minshew.
Yeah, O'Connell's
hey,
good,
actually,
but he did lose to Syracuse
I give Alex
in
a lot of
college.
crap. I will say I give Alex a lot of crap. He said, like, halfway through the season, I think the NFL season, he said that Gardner Minshew would be an NFL starter next season. Reasonable shot that happens.
Yep.
So congratulations,
I also think I predicted that Minshew was going to go to the Pro Bowl, and that was also correct. I predicted a lot of things, and, you know, it seems I'm right on a lot of things. We take those.
Okay. We are not. Tyler Huntley made the Pro Bowl after throwing two touchdown passes. I do not ever want to hear. Okay, as a side note, Phillies fans are bringing up that Whit Merrifield was an All Star last season. Yeah,
he was an All Star because he won the player vote, right?
Yeah, it was something stupid because there were no good second basemen besides Marcus Simeon. Like, he was just slightly
above
average
mid last year. Yeah.
Well, in the first half, he was slightly above mid. The second half, he was horrible. But now when Sean Murphy does that, he sucks, and he's worse than JT Realmuto. When Whit Merrifield does it, he's a great depth piece. Please be consistent. Whit Merrifield
is
not changing
yeah.
your franchise.
And look, I love the All-Star game in Major League Baseball. I don't really watch the Pro Bowl, I'll be honest. I don't think I've ever watched the Pro Bowl, but, like, I think the sport that it holds the most weight to be named an All-Star is the NBA, because not every team is guaranteed a representative.
Fair.
And that's the thing is, well, in Merrifield's case, to be fair, he made it on a team that had other representatives. But I get what you're saying, because he did not necessarily play like an All-Star, but he'll have a star next to him on his baseball reference page. There are a lot of guys, you know, that
Blake Snell wasn't an All-Star last season, correct?
Yeah, Bryce Harper wasn't an All-Star when he won MVP a couple years ago.
Santiago Espinal was an All-Star in 2022.
Yeah,
this is a
Jake
Toronto
Arrieta,
Blue Jays thing. Jake
Arrieta didn't make it in 2015. There was a, you know, because I do these like obscure All-Star things, and like the Royals had a stretch where I think one year their All-Star representative was Mike McDougal. The next year was Ken Harvey. The next year was Mark Redman, and if you know who any of those guys are, with all due respect to those guys, if they're on any other team that maybe didn't lose 100 games, they probably wouldn't have ever made the All-Star game.
We will respect Braves legend Mike Redman.
Redman.
I guess I'm not respecting him.
Mike Redman was the catcher on the Twins.
Okay, yeah, my
and
mistake. Okay, my mistake, my error. But anyway,
Merrifield
had a 94 OPS plus last season. Can we be serious for a minute?
Yeah, that's neither here nor there.
Can we be serious? Like, okay. Anyways, that'll wrap us up for today. Thank you, Mac. Thank you, Alex. If you like our content, yay! Please feel free to give us a 5-star review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you may listen to our podcast. We have a YouTube channel that we also upload these, so maybe you're listening to it on YouTube. Drop a subscribe. You might be our 100th subscriber. We would appreciate that.
Hit that like button too, by the way.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hit that like, comment. What's your best take? What's your favorite, your spring training overreactions? You can follow us on Twitter at @LAR_baseball. You can follow Mac at @Matthias_A_K. You can follow me at MrSplashman19. You can follow Alex at TheSportsGuy242. We also have an Instagram at @LAR_baseball. Shocker. Thank you, Instagram. Thank you, not Elon, Zuckerberg, Meta. Yeah. With that said, peace out, and baseball is going to be here in like 9 days. Really?
Yay.